Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess McQueen. Once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. I am, as usual, excited that you have taken time and humbled that you have come, decided to join me for the broadcast. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7, every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live, people of God, right here at www.ctkr.org. As many of you already know, that is our website. Amen. Please take some time to visit our website, get to learn more about myself and Apostle McQueen, and more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Also, get to learn more about being a not only a prayer partner, amen, but a visionary and a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. As many of you know, as you're going through our website, we have many sons and daughters that not only need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well. Please look to your heart, listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him lead you as to what to give to these men and women of God that are doing a marvelous, marvelous, mighty work for the kingdom. Amen. Also, if you would like, we do have a media page now. Please take a moment to check out our media page, our media, and you can see myself and Apostle McQueen preaching powerful messages that were given to us by the Holy Spirit, and it definitely blessed the people of God, and it also blessed us as well. As many of you know, our goal, when I say our goal, here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, is to do the will of the one who sent us, amen, and to complete his work. That is one of our models that is here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. It's not about the form and the fashion. It's not about getting our name up in light, but it's about being recognized by the Father, and it's about his hand up on our lives, and it is about his people being blessed and changed, amen, and challenged and moving forward in the destiny that God has given them. Amen. Amen. If you would like Apostle or myself to come and minister at any one of your programs, please go to our contact page that is on our website. Leave your name, your number, email address, and someone will get into contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. I also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. go to our Facebook page. Like us there. Give us a shout out. Leave your prayer request. Leave your praise report. Amen. If it is your prayer request, we want to touch and agree with you, believing that God is going to do everything according to his will and his purpose in your life. Amen. Amen. Those are the quick announcements. Now I want to get to what is really up on my heart, what really has me excited. People of God, this year, amen, Women of Prophetic Destiny is hosting their conference right here in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Ha! I'm excited. You just don't know how excited I am in my spirit concerning this conference. Amen. The conference is going to be held at Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, located at 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. If you can make your way here, I challenge you to. I dare you to. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. If you come expecting, if you come looking for God to do something, you will not go away empty-handed. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have powerful men and women of God that are going to be in the place, powerful teaching, powerful preaching, amen, prayer, intercessory prayer. We have powerful anointed psalmists. We have powerful anointed musicians, praise teams that are going to be lifting up the name of Jesus. And isn't that what it's all about anyway? Lifting his name up, giving him praise and glory, giving him honor. As the people bless him, God has no other choice but to shine his face upon us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And I know we always say, oh, yeah, I'm excited, but y'all don't know. I'm excited in my spirit because I'm expecting God, and I know that God is going to show up. I've been in prayer seeking his face for a right now word for those of you who are, well, what is the theme for your conference? The theme this year for 2013 is don't abort your assignment. If any of you have been following me for any length of time, amen, and following this broadcast, you know I'm all about assignment. You know I'm all about that you will fulfill your God-given assignment and mission that he's called you to do. Not everybody else's assignment, not your own way of doing stuff, but fulfilling his assignment in the earth. You know the theme is my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. Amen. Again, if you are in the Florida area, please meet us in the place to be at Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. More information is coming your way. Check us out on the Facebook. Check us out on social media. Check us out on Twitter. We're going to be blowing it up. And the closer it gets, the hotter it's going to be. I want you to be there. Amen. Amen and amen. Ooh, I already just got, I'm ready to go, y'all. I'm ready to go. Listen, those are the announcements. Please keep that in your ear. If you're not able to make it, tell somebody else that you know that's in the area that can make it. Anyone that needs a touch from the Lord, anyone who needs a word from the Lord, anybody who needs just to be in the presence of God, join me there at this conference. You will not go away disappointed. Amen? Amen. Now, those are the announcements, people of God. I want to go into prayer, and then we're getting right into this word. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let us look to the Lord. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, I bless you. I magnify, I glorify you. I worship your holy name. You are mighty, you are holy, you are righteous. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your loving kindness, your grace. God, even now, I humble myself. I bow in your presence, God. I ask, Father, for forgiveness right now of all sins. Cleanse me and wash me in your blood from all unrighteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want to be clean. I want to be whole. I want to be right before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I ask that you would just wash me in your blood. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart, my soul, my spirit. In the name of Jesus, only let the people see you this evening, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, even now I decrease. I ask that you would increase. Put your word in my mouth. Speak right now what thus saith the Lord to your people that you have assigned to this broadcast in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify you. We gladly lift you up. We gladly worship your name. We gladly lift our hands up and just begin to sing praises unto your holy, righteous name. We thank you, God. We thank you for every life that has been touched by this broadcast. God, we thank you for every person that's being turned around now, that's being saved, that's being delivered, that's being set free, that's being changed in your presence, being changed in your image. God, those that you are making every crooked way straight and their pathway straight in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Father, that you're working out signs, wonders, and miracles on behalf of your people in the name of the Almighty Jesus. Oh, God, I'm thanking you now for every prayer warrior. I'm thanking you now for every intercessor. I thank you now, God, that you're awakening all the five-folded gifts. I thank you now that people are beginning to see where they belong and what you have called them to do. God, I thank you right now that your will becomes our will. Father, anything that's not like you, take it out of us now. Make your will our will. We gladly submit and yield to your will and your way in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you right now. Holy Spirit, have your way. Get into this message. We invite you into this room, into the broadcast, into where the people are, wherever they may be. We invite your presence, God. We just say, have your way. We thank you. We glorify you. We worship you, God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Right wherever you are, people of God, just begin to offer up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a praise. Hallelujah. Just begin to offer him up a worship right wherever you may be. And whether you're in your kitchen, in your front room, amen. You might be driving your car, you might can't say anything, just wave your hand in the atmosphere, just give us some glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We worship you. We worship you. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Ah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen and amen. Amen. People of God, I want to go into a familiar passage, amen, of scripture that we've all been taught for quite some time, amen. And I think it continuously needs to be rehearsed in our hearing because we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to kind of overlook some things. And as the Holy Ghost brought it back to my attention, because you all know that we are those who minister the word, we're the first partakers. And for those of you who are beginning to minister the word, always know that you are the first one that the word challenges, amen, before you're able to minister it or as you're ministering it to your people. Amen. Coming out of the book of James, I'm reading from the third chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse, and we're going to read down, just going to read through it to the, probably the 12th verse and just kind of let the Lord speak forth as he wishes to speak. Amen. 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 Yeah, that's it. Here we go. All right. Book of James, chapter 3, starting at the first verse, reading out of the New King James Version, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Verse 4, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot or wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a ford a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, this who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Now, people of God, I know that we did a lot of reading, amen, on this evening, but it is nevertheless a powerful message that definitely needs to get across. And one of those things is that we have to understand that it's going to take not your strength, but it's going to take God's strength to control this mouth or control this tongue, especially those of us who are in the prophetic. Those of us who are in the prophetic, it is vital, amen, that your speech is pure, your words are pure. Why? Because God judges us by every word that comes forth out of our mouth. Prophets, we live by the word of God that comes, every word that we speak, and we live by that, and God judges us by that. We have too many, amen, that are in the household of faith. We just have too many church folk, period, that have a tendency, like the word says, to bless the Lord one moment, and the next moment they're just running their mouth furiously about everything and anything that they can, that possibly comes to their head or their thoughts, and they just make a comment off of everything. He said here, James was talking, and he said, listen, don't let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. In other words, don't be so quick to try to want to jump up and become somebody's leader. We have. And the reason why I say that, amen, is because we have many that have taken on leadership authority or leadership positions, and their character has not been processed, and they have not matured themselves enough to be able to handle the responsibility of what a true leader is. All they see is the lights and the camera and the fact that I have people under me and the fact I can tell people what to do. When being a true leader, amen, a true righteous leader, even at that, is much more stricter, much more under the microscope, amen, than you can ever imagine. There's pressure at the top, baby. I just want to say it that way. It's pressure at the top. And I fear people that are quick to run, amen, to be somebody's boss. My husband says it very clearly. He said, if you've never been an employee, you're going to be a horrible boss. Because you have some people that don't know the struggles or don't understand being in a subservient or a servitude position, amen, or one that is in a servanthood position and beginning to learn what it is to be in leadership. Some just go from point A to point B without ever having gone through the process, and then when they get to the top, they make a mockery out of being in that position. The people under them can't stand them, or they become tyrants, amen, or they just become weak as water, or they're just like yes person people, and it becomes, instead of one that people respect and want to be like and those that they will follow after, huh? They become the joke of the office, or the joke of their pastorship, or the joke of whatever leadership position that they have. And here James says strictly, he said, listen, don't be so quick to grab that position. Don't be so quick to try to teach other people, knowing that you're going to receive a stricter judgment from the Father. Matthew 23:8 says this, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Romans 2:21 says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? This 1 Timothy 1:7 says, desiring, amen, to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things, amen, which they affirm. Hmm? I'm going to hang my head right here for about 2 seconds. We have a lot of people that are in leadership, amen, that have a flock following them, amen, and they do not, in other words, it's do as I say, not as I do. And they take certain portions of the scripture, and they have not researched it, nor have they got a true revelation, amen, from the Father of what the passage of scripture really means. And they take it and they twist it to meet their own lustful desires. And they're leading people astray, amen, because when you take on the authority of being a leader, God holds you even closer or more stricter to judgment. He holds you even more accountable because you are leading his sheep. And he says it right here. You're sitting up here preaching to others and teaching the others, and yet you're doing the same. And we have many that are saying one thing to the flock or their followers that God is giving them and living another lifestyle on the other side. And then when somebody comes to challenge and says, according to the word, then they want to try to counterblock it with you can't rebuke an elder. Or they try to counterblock it by making some excuse as to why, well, this time. Is that you? You always got to, but this time? Excuse? Yeah, I know that happened, but, you know, at this right here, is it already, is your lifestyle, do you always have a but by the end of your definition? When somebody asks you, well, you said this, yeah, but. Do you always have special circumstances when it comes to your teaching, when it comes to your way of living, righteous and holy? Luke 6:37, and this is what everybody uses, but it's always out of context. It says, judge not and you shall not be judged, condemn not and you shall not be condemned, forgive and you will be forgiven. Many, many people in the church and out of the church take this passage of scripture out of context. Because, amen, the reality is that those that are in leadership and those that are mature have the right to challenge, amen, those that are calling themselves into leadership and leading the people astray. It's one thing when you're doing something, amen, and you're not realizing that you're doing it. And it's another thing, amen, when you are real, you know what you're doing, but yet you still choose to do wrong anyway. And all this, don't judge me, and I can live in it. No, the devil is a lie. No, I'm going to judge according to the word of God. I don't need to judge in my flesh. We're not judging in our flesh, but we are judging by what the word of God says. And if it's wrong and you got the person showing you line up on line, precept upon precept, and you still want to argue about it, the word of God always stands. Let the word of God be true and every man a lie. Now, the challenge that we have, people of God, those of us who the Lord is preparing and prepping and taking us through the process to become the next leader, wherever that may be, or whatever position he has in your life. Amen? You got to get into this word and know it for yourself. And I say that because if you don't know it for yourself, then you can be led down any pathway somebody chooses to lead you down. And the enemy rejoices when the people of God do not truly know the word, because he is a legalist and he is in the details. And if you don't understand your contract, which is the word of God, he'll always have you end up somewhere. He'll always come and be able to take from you what was rightfully already yours, but you don't know the contract. He'll give you things that you don't even have to take upon yourself, but you don't know the contract, therefore he does whatever he wants to do. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And that word, amen, and I'm moving on, is not to make even those of us who are currently in leadership or God is moving into a leadership position, amen, with his people or whatever he's chosen us to do. It's not a word to make us scared where we're somewhere shivering and shaking, saying, I don't want to do this, but that's what it's going to take. No, he's just telling you, you need to count up the cost. You need to make sure that as you're looking at this passage of Scripture, this is sober. This is seriousness. God is saying, I take this very seriously. The call that I have placed, the mandate, amen, that I have placed upon your life, I take it very seriously. And the people that I bring to you to follow after you, I'm taking it and charging you very seriously that you're going to train them up in my way, in the contract, the Bible, in knowing my word, and being able to prepare them so that they too can fulfill the mission that is upon their life. He says, my brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. We're not perfect. Nobody, prophetess is not perfect. Apostle's not perfect. Let's face it, you're not perfect either. I don't care how you try to dress it up. I don't care how you try to make it shine. I don't care what you put on. I don't care how much smell good you got on. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is perfect. For we all stumble in many things. That's why we got to constantly get in prayer and get in his faith. That's why you constantly hear when I pray, as the old mothers used to say, wash me, Lord. Wash me in your blood. Wash me. Make me pure. Make me whole. Sanctify my heart. Sanctify my mind. We even got away from those type of prayers because we really don't want to be sanctified. We really don't want to, many of us don't really want to live, amen, a holiness lifestyle, a sanctified lifestyle. We want to just come, shake, shift, do our dance, get our groove on, smash on, whatever you want to call it, and then we want to go and then do whatever we want to do, all the while the people are screaming our name. And as they're doing all the screaming, we got more mess, we have more confusion, we have more lack of power, lack of strength in the household of faith, huh? We got more that are bound up, sick, living a devil lifestyle. We got devils and demons sitting right next to us, going to church week after week, month after month, year after year. They don't even feel challenged to come into the house of God. I remember, I do remember, even before I was saved, I do remember that there was a time that when a person who was full of demonic oppression, amen, walked into the true household of faith, that the Holy Spirit would arrest them. They couldn't just sit there and be comfortable. They couldn't just sit there and go to sleep and just go through the motions. It was something about the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, that would arrest people, that would cause spirits to manifest in people, that the saints would circle up around them, circle up around the children, plead the blood over the children. Saints would circle up around the person and begin to plead the blood and cast the devil out so that people will walk away free. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. We started preaching prosperity. We started preaching religion instead of relation. We started preaching God understands. He's all love. Oh, he loves you. He just loves you. He loves you. We started preaching erroneous doctrine. If you get it in your mind, speak it, see it, say it, it'll manifest. You shall have what you say. We started introducing different religions, ideologies into true Christianity. And now we have this hodgepodge, this hodgepodge of gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ, just the hodgepodge of gospel, not the gospel of truth. And in the midst of that, the church has become weaker and weaker. The saints have become weaker. But I'm thanking God because he's bringing his church back. I thank the Father because he's raising up those sons and daughters who have not bowed down to Baal, who have not bowed down to all this foolishness that's going on in the world, who have the word of God in their mouth and the sword of the Spirit in their hand, who slicing off the devil's head left and right, who are going forth and power, his might, and his strength, those that have a prayer life, those that have a relationship, those who are not taken away by this foolishness and sensuality and lust that's going on, that know that for God I live and for God I die, that know that their purpose is to fulfill the kingdom assignment, that their purpose is to manifest his power and his glory within the earth. Oh, yes, he is. The church is raising up. It may look a little gloomy right now, but keep watching, keep watching. I'm thanking God because he's putting the watchmen and watchwomen back on the wall. I'm thanking the Lord because he's awakening his intercessors. He's awakening his prayer warriors. He's awakening his fivefold ministry again, who are not going to sit back any longer, but fight the good fight of faith. I got to digress because I'm about ready to jump up here and preach. He said, listen. For we all stumble in many things. He said, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Psalms 34 says this, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That means you can't go around here talking about thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and the next minute you're around the corner talking mess, running down people, having raggedy conversations, ungodly conversations, him, her, or them. Now, I'm not saying, prophet is not saying be a stick in the mud. I'm not saying that at all. It's good to laugh. It's good to joke around. It's good to live life. God put us on this earth to live a good life in Him. But you can't be doing all this crazy cussing and fussing and running folks down, jealousy, bitterness, envy, anger, all up in your spirit. And do know this, that whatever's in there will come out when you open up your mouth. Wondering why your people ain't doing right? What's in you? What's in your heart? What's in your spirit? What have you been speaking over your people? I've just been speaking the word. That's all I've been doing, speaking the word. But yes, whenever you speak the word, how is that word coming out? Is that word bringing life to the people? Or every time that you open up your mouth, that word is cutting and slicing and stabbing. Do you has God given you that grace? Yeah, I'll say it like that. Has He given you that grace where you're able to go in with His word and strategically and surgically begin to operate and remove that cancer, remove that gangrene out of people's lives and still keep the soul intact? Do your word soothe? Because you can still preach and it still be soothing, cutting and mending at the same time, cutting and mending at the same time. Or are you using just a broadsword? Well, they just need to know. Everybody just on their way to hell. They just need to know. But remember, the same judgment that you send out, you're judged by. Prophets, y'all better watch your attitudes when y'all minister to these people. Y'all better watch how you say it when you minister to these people. I know I am one. I know that when you speak a word, there's times when you just know something about them, you don't like the person in general. So when you speak to them, you're purposely trying to cut their heart out with the word of God. God ain't pleased with that mess. He didn't use you. He didn't put you there so you could cut people's hearts out, cut their throats. There's a way to minister. And a true, mature man or woman of God, prophet, apostle, whoever you may be, knows how to go in and cut out the cancer. Cut it out and still mend and draw the soul. Some of us need to repent because we done killed some souls off with our quote-unquote prophetic word. I'm not saying the word wasn't true, but it's how you delivered the message. Did you deliver it in love? Even when, yeah, I'm going to go there too. Well, Isaiah and Jeremiah, he called me to do. Listen, even when they were sending a harsh word, they were still crying out before God for the souls of the people. They were still crying out, asking God for mercy for the people. Even when they had to deliver the harsh word. Are you crying out? Or is this your time to tell folks this is what you've really been feeling and thinking all this time? Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. That was for somebody because I felt my spirit just shift completely over somewhere else. Listen, if anyone, verse 2, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, able to bridle the whole body. In other words, James is saying, if you're perfect, you're perfect completely, word, deed, and character. He says, indeed, if we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. He said, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. I want to look at this in the Message Bible real quick, just to give us some more clarity, amen? Just give us a little bit more clarity. Here we go. Let's start at the top because this brings it all just right in our face. He said, listen, don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friend. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to stricter standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. In other words, I don't care how much seminary you don't went to. I don't care how many apostles, prophets, bishops to lay their hands on you. He said, let's face it truthfully, none of us but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is truly qualified for this job. He says we get it wrong every time, nearly every time we open up our mouth. I'm not saying this. I'm reading it out the Word. This is James talking, not prophetess. This is James. He said every time we get it wrong, nearly every time we open our mouth. So don't get no chip on your shoulder talking about I got this. He said, because in the reality, you ain't got nothing. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. Verse 3, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest wind. A word, here it is now, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. I'm going to read that one more time. He said, a word out of your mouth, my mouth, may seem of no account. In other words, you're just speaking into the wind. First thing that comes to your mind, you're just throwing it out there. He said, but yet, it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy. God made us spiritual beings. The Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, he's given us such a power and authority that we have the ability to create anything in the atmosphere, anything in our natural world that we wish, or we can kill anything that we wish just by words. You don't understand. I don't think I don't think many of us really understand. Our life, everything that's in it, everything that's around it, is created by our words. What you have in your possession is by your words. Whatever you believe, you speak. Well, I really didn't mean that. I just kind of was, you know, I was kind of feeling, I was going through some things. You know how we talk. I was going through some things at that time. I don't know. I just said, you know, I was kind of frustrated, so I just let a couple words out. And that word went out to perform what you told it to do. So we can't get mad talking about the devil, the devil, the devil. With some of this stuff, we have to be responsible and just man up or woman up and say, you know what, I created this mess because I opened up my mouth and kept speaking. I'm not talking about this new age speaking. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm not even addressing that issue, period. Excuse me. But I am saying that he has given us the authority by his son to speak. You have the power, amen, pastors, bishops, anyone who's in leadership that has that God has given you people to follow you, you have the power to make them or break them. He says in verse 5, it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless listen now, a careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do just that. Our speech can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation. Some of us are fighting those things right now because somebody opened up their mouth who they considered in authority and said something about you that was not true and has ruined your reputation, attempted to ruin your character. And because this person is in, quote unquote, some form of authority, people believe them, whether it's true or not. Says, a careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do just that. By our speech, listen here, by our speech, we can ruin the world. Ruin the world. Turn harmony to chaos. Throw mud on a reputation. Send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Oh, you thinking you about to throw something, dig a hole for somebody and throw them in it when and all the time you setting yourself up for demise. He said, not only will our speech ruin this world, turn it upside down, turn harmony to chaos, kill reputation, but send the whole world up in smoke and us along with it. We think we're playing these little political games and setting things up, playing chess games with people's lives and putting folks here and turning things here and shifting stuff over there. And all the while, you're setting yourself up for demise. Some people have been getting away with it for so long, they think that they can't nobody catch them, can't nobody see, can't nobody do nothing. But, but let me tell you something. When the day comes, when we see people all of a sudden this exposure, let me tell you something, people of God. Have you ever noticed that when someone gets exposed, you find out this isn't just the first time. You just see the reaction right here. But when you begin to trace it back, you see that these people have been doing these situations and things for years. This isn't just I got caught here one time. These are things, when you start going into the history of a person's life, you start seeing that this mess has been going on for years in their lives that has just led up to this point that has become magnified right here. These aren't people's first rodeos, as we say. They done destroyed a lot of lives along the way. But it just so happened this particular life they tried to destroy ended up backfiring on them. He said this, by our speech we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world, up in smoke, go up in smoke with it, and smoke right from the pit of hell. He said, this is scary. Can you tame a tiger? You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. So all this time we're trying to take speech classes and put oil all up on our tongues and we're trying to control our emotions. He said, listen, nobody, you can, the best of the best of the best, you can have all the willpower in the world. He said, you still will not have the authority to tame your tongue. He said, it's never, never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. Well, Prophetess, you know, I don't really talk about nobody. You know, I mind my business. Whatever people do, that's just them. I just pray for them. I pray for them. Yeah, you pray for them. But get around your good friend, and they happen to bring up that person or that issue or that situation. And let's watch you ready, set, go. Or let it be something that was dear to you. Let it be a situation that was close to you. And see if you're going to sit back and just let the river run through it. Or things change when it comes knocking on your door. You get a different view. People see a whole other side of you when it comes knocking at your door. He said, with our tongue, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. The Bible's right about it. You know it's true. We've all done it. We've all done it. You done talked about the pastor. You done talked about the first lady. You done talked about the mothers. The mothers done talked about the deacons. The deacons done talked about the choir. The choir done talked about the musicians. We done talked about everybody up in that church who we got an issue with. People we don't even know. New members come in the church. We talking about them because they don't look the part. They don't look like they need to look. We talked about the finance department. Where the money going? They know they're taking this money. Every time I see them, they're wearing something new. We talked about everybody. We always got something to say. Church people always have a tendency to have something to say about everything. Truth is perceptional. And 9 times out of 10, it's not discernment. It's your flesh talking. Because you feel you're grown enough to say something. When this Bible strictly says, and it's not, we don't know how to address an issue, not everybody. We don't know how to address an issue in love. It goes past the issue to how raggedy the person is. It goes past the situation and it starts becoming a personal attack. Oh, you know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. You ain't got to amen. I know it's the truth. He said, listen, with our tongue, we come in here and we bless God. We glorify him. We speak in tongues all over the place. We worship him. And yet, somebody make us mad. You get an issue with somebody. Somebody close to us. Rub us the wrong way. With the same tongues. Plural, we curse the very men and women that he made in his image. He said, listen, curses and blessings out of the same mouth, my friend, this can't continue to go on. We can't make, in other words, we can't keep making excuses for, as Apostle says, bad behavior. We can't be talking about, well, this time, it was this issue. Well, I didn't do it here because right here, it wouldn't have happened if what, but you know, right here, this is one situation. It's never one situation. It's a series of situations. It's because we feel grown enough and comfortable enough to feel that our opinion matters in a thing. When our opinion, compared to the word of God, our opinion means nothing as it compares to the word of God. If the word of God says love them, you need to get somewhere and ask God to help you to get your spirit and your attitude right so you can love these people like God loved them. Because let's face it, people that do you wrong, people that take you somewhere if you let them. Life will knock the breath out of you. I've said it before. But sometimes, huh? And I've done it myself, people of God. I'm not telling you something that I don't know. Being a little transparent. Sometimes you got to fall on your face and say, God, I can't even look these people in the eye without feeling something in my heart against them. Help me. Help me. Give me the strength to do this. Take this out of my heart so that I can love them as you love them. Why? Because it ain't every day. You ain't pretty. You ain't cute. You done said something. You was nasty. You was vile. You was bitter. You was self-righteous. You were prideful. You was acting crazy. But you want somebody to respect your anointing. You done stepped on people's toes. Listen, you ain't firing on all cylinders every day. And there's time somebody is doing the same thing with you, asking God to help them so that they can look you in the eye the next day. He said, listen, friends, we can't continue to do this. We can't go on. A spring. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? Ooh. He's talking to us because some of us, instead of going to God, asking him to wash us, that's why you have to get into his face and constantly ask him to wash you and to cleanse you. Excuse me. So that the Spirit can constantly move through you and be life to someone else. Not only life to you, but life to someone else. But if you never get in his face, if you never ask him to keep your mind and your heart right, if you never ask him to keep you focused, and you just go through life and go through the rhythm of life, then that well that's living on the inside of you becomes blocked up with rocks and debris. And after it becomes blocked up with all those rocks and debris, then you become polluted. And we have many men and women of God, amen, who are, as the Bible says, polluted mud holes. And instead of them bringing life, they bring death and destruction everywhere they go. He said, listen, I'm going to stop them, but I'm not done. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this word, God. You're challenging us tonight. You're challenging us. You're challenging us to change. You're challenging us to be mindful, amen, that every day, we got to get before you and keep our hearts right before you, keep ourselves clean before you, asking you for your help, because we can't do this on our own. We need you, God, to help us to line up with this word in the mighty name of Jesus. We give your name praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are not saved, repeat this word. Father, come into my heart, come into my life. I'm a sinner. Wash me in your blood. Wash me for all unrighteousness. Forgive me. Make me whole. I want to serve you until you return again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome into the household of faith. Man and woman of God, I pray, it is my prayer that you will find a Bible-believing and teaching church that will give you the tools needed so that you too can be effective in the kingdom and fulfilling your God-given assignment in him. Listen, Apostle Crystal, go to my website, amen, www.ctkr.org. Visit me there. Go to my media page here. Myself and Apostle McQueen, Minister of the Message of God. Check us out. Leave your a name, number, prayer request. We want to hear from you. Listen, this is Prophetic Atmosphere, amen, and I will see you again next week at 7 p.m. for the continuation of this message. Be blessed in the Lord. Have a wonderful evening.